So, have you paid attention to the news recently? Have you heard anything about CO2, for example? Now, here's the thing. They've been telling us for ages that there is too much CO2 in the world's atmosphere and that CO2 is causing global warming. And then in the last few weeks, they've been telling us that there is not enough CO2 in the world to be able to process and store food and drinks. Oh dear. Is there any hope for our world today? I suppose an expert would tell us that we have plenty of CO2, but it's just that it's all in the wrong place. Is there any hope for our world? What do you reckon? I would say this, that there is no hope for this world, all the while that this world focuses on this world rather than focusing on the living God who created this world. Have you heard about the protest group, Insulate Homes? There's nothing wrong with insulating your home, and in fact, we spend a lot of time and money insulating our home to make it warmer and more efficient. But this protest group, as you heard on the news, keeps stopping traffic on the M25, so much so that a builder that specialises in insulating homes was prevented from getting to work. That is to say, he was prevented from insulating a home. Today, at our harvest celebration, we are thanking God for his creation. And we need to remember that we are part of his creation. And there is no hope for creation all the while that we, his creation, focus on created things rather than the Creator who is forever to be praised. Ever since the time of Moses, God has been warning us to get the message that there is something more important than food and stuff. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, we read, "Look, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so when Jesus told a story about a man sowing seeds to grow corn, to make flour, to make bread, he was not actually really talking about physical food, but about the word of God. Have you heard about the parable of the sower? It is a great story that Jesus told to illustrate a point. And as you probably know, the word parable comes from the Greek parabole, literally bole, meaning throwing, and para, meaning alongside. Para, you think of parallel lines which run alongside each other. And so too in the parable of the sower, the story of a farmer and seeds runs alongside the truth about the word of God. So let's read the parable of the sower together. In Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." The disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, this parable is recorded in the three synoptic gospels. That is, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew and Mark, we are told that Jesus got into a boat and he used the boat as a platform on the lake to teach from. It was like setting up a stage and all the people were on the shore. All three Gospels mention four types of soil, and it's interesting that their names for the soil types are almost identical throughout. They all mention the path, and they all mention either rocky ground or rocky places. They all mention seed falling among thorns and seed falling on good soil. And in each gospel, Jesus' disciples ask him to explain the meaning of the parable. And it is interesting to note that the parable was told to the crowds. You need to get this, right? The parable was told to the crowds, but it was the disciples who asked Jesus the meaning of the parable. And maybe that is a lesson for all of us, or perhaps a question for all of us. Am I part of the crowd, or am I a disciple? You see, crowds may hear the word of God, but disciples meditate on the word of God, mulling it over, asking questions, and even asking, "How does it relate to me, Lord? How do you want me to respond?" If we move on to our next slide, please. Let's talk now about the meaning of the gospel. Of the parable. In each of the Gospels, Jesus explains the meaning of the four types of soil. We have already read the parable and Jesus' explanation from Luke's Gospel. I don't think that we need to read the parable from the other two Gospels as well, but I think it would be helpful to read just Jesus' explanation from Matthew and Mark as well, to complement what we have already read from Luke. So let's read, please, in Matthew 13, starting at verse 8. Jesus continued, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And likewise in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 13, we have again similar, but there's some variations, interpretation here. So let's read Mark 4 from verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word, and some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." So when we think about the interpretation of the parable, we have to ask ourselves the question, which of the soil types best describes my response to the word of God? Are you most like the path, the rocky ground, among thorns, or good soil? Maybe you feel, if you're honest, that you resemble more than one of them. So let's have a look at each of them in turn. Let's move on, first of all, to the path. And there's a slide here. Okay, the path. So, back in the day, the path through the field was probably the result of people's feet treading on the ground, just beaten down earth. And if you walk in Swinley Forest when there are floods or large puddles, you find that new paths emerge. No one plans them, no one designs them, but they emerge as people make a detour to keep their feet dry. And whilst a path is great news for a walker, it is bad news for a seed. The ground is so hard that the seed has no chance of germinating and putting down roots. And anyway, before it even has a chance to try, a bird can easily spot it, making a convenient snack. Jesus likens a bird eating the seed to Satan snatching away the word of God or the message of the gospel from someone's heart. And we've talked about Satan in our messages the last two Sundays. And we said that Satan does not really care what we believe as long as we do not believe in the living God. And he will do whatever he can to snatch the gospel message away from people's hearts. Now, this parable applies to us as individuals and to people we may be witnessing to about Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves, first of all, when I hear the word of God in a sermon or in Bible reading, do I allow it to sink into my heart and germinate? Or do I allow Satan to snatch it away and turn my attention to something more superficial? What are my priorities? How easily do I allow myself to become distracted? Do I allow TV, internet, sport, hobbies, etc., etc.? Do I allow them to come between me and the Word of God? And what about if I have been witnessing to one of my friends who do not believe in Jesus? I should not be surprised if they do not immediately turn to Jesus in repentance. I may need to sow the seeds of the Word of God into their heart numerous times before they come to faith in Jesus. Because like a bird on a footpath, Satan is waiting to snatch the seed from their heart. Let's now talk about rocky ground, and there's a slide for this. And I'd like to read what Mark's gospel says about rocky ground. That's Mark 4, just verses 16 and 17. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And herein lies a warning for all of us. We must be prepared for trouble and persecution if we are followers of Jesus. We should be prepared, children, young people, we should be prepared to be marginalized because of our faith at school, at college, at uni. As we get older, we should be prepared to be marginalized because of our faith at work, at our club, in the family, amongst our neighbors. And if we are not prepared, then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, it is not surprising if we quickly fall away. You remember 2 weeks ago we talked about myths. How many remember talking about myths, yeah? Okay. And one of the greatest myths that is destroying the church in the West today is the myth that faith in Jesus should be easy. That is a myth, and it is destroying the church. Jesus does not promise an easy life. Instead, he advises us to be prepared for trouble or persecution that comes because of the word. And for those of you who are responsible as parents for your children, I encourage you to talk about this at home. Young folk are easily attracted by mega music and mega lights and mega church. But I did not see the word mega in the parable of the sower. Nor limousines, nor private jets, nor millionaire lifestyle. But I did see the words trouble and persecution. And my friends, we will not be able to stand trouble or persecution because of the word if we have no root. So let us commit ourselves to the word of God and to prayer. Let's make it a priority as individuals and as families and as a church. Let's put down some roots. Let's move on now to the next slide, please, and we'll talk about thorns. And for this one, for the thorns, I want to read what all three Gospels say about thorns. It's just a couple of verses for each. So in Matthew 13, verse 22, we read, "The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful." Mark chapter 4, verse 18 says, "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." And in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, we read, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." So here I've got a question for you to think about. Which do you think is probably the greatest danger to believers in some of the countries that we support through Open Doors, places like North Korea and Afghanistan? Which do you think is probably the greatest danger to them? Rocky ground, that is to say troubles and persecutions, or thorns, that is to say the deceitfulness of wealth? Okay. And which do you think is probably the greatest danger to believers here in the UK, in the southeast of England, in beautiful Bracknell? I think it may well be thorns. That is to say, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things that come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. These are a massive reality for us today. Do you agree? The advantage about worries, the worries of this life, the advantage of worries is that they relate to all of us, little children, right through to, very elderly people. Does anyone here ever worry? Please just raise your hand. Yeah? Does anyone here never worry? Please just raise your hand. See? Am I going to do well at school? Is that a worry? Is it? Am I going to do well at school or at college or at uni? Will I be able to get a job? Will I be able to rent a home or pay a mortgage? Will I be able to get married? That was a question for a couple. Will I be able to afford to look after my family? How will I live when I get older? Will I get a state pension? Will there even be a state pension when I get to that age? Will it be enough? And if I want to invest in an additional pension, how do I decide where to invest the money? And these are all legitimate concerns. And I think that we should all plan and prepare prudently as best we can, doing the best we can at school, at uni, at work, and so on. But not worrying about the rest. Yeah, that's right. Let's do our best, but let's not worry about the rest. Asking the Lord, "What are your priorities for my life?" And trusting in Him ultimately for His protection and His provision. Proverbs 19, verse 21 tells us, "Many are the plans in a person's heart." Is that right? Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let's commit our way to Him. Let's do our best, but let's trust Him for the rest. Because anxiety, worry destroys us. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 27, He said, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Let's just do a survey. Does anyone know of anybody who worried a lot and then lived a long time because they worried? We cannot. And the tragedy is that if we allow the worries of this life to take over, they can choke the word of God in our hearts, making it unfruitful. But there's another aspect here as well. What about the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things? I think we know the answer. Wealth is so deceiving, and so are other worldly things. If we allow ourselves to be fooled by them, by money, possessions, food, clothing, jobs, sport, hobbies, all of these can be good and helpful if we view them in the right way, but as soon as they become our reason to live, that's when we are in trouble. If these things become more important than our walk with the Lord, they can choke the word of God in our hearts, making it unfruitful. So as we draw to a close, let's have our last slide, please. And that is, of course, the good soil. In this parable, it's interesting, yeah? Jesus mentions three types of bad soil and only one type of good soil. If we merge together the closing words from each of the three Gospels, the parable in the three Gospels, then we can say the following. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, understand it, accept it, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So let us, my brothers and sisters, let us hear and read and listen to the word of God. And let's pray for understanding. And let's accept the word of God. Make it personal. Internalize it. And let's retain it. And let's persevere. And let's produce a crop. Amen.